Yes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. I'm your host. My name is Gerald Peters. Listen, always remember, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. Today, it's just me. I'm going to be breaking down the whiteboard for the week of October 21st, 2023, the week prior to Halloween. We got some interesting stuff. Let's get into it. And hey, maybe we'll have a surprise visitor on the podcast today.
At war with Hamas, the House unable to agree on a speaker, bank earnings come in mixed, but it all comes against the backdrop of a surprisingly strong U.S. economy.
I talked to several people this week who run companies, and they each said that the economy remains strong and that they don't see the consumer. You know, you see, there's some areas where spending is softening, but overall, I mean, look at the retail sales number. The consumer is strong. Volume is not going up very much, but companies are profitable.
The economy's strong and growing. Man, what a theme. How long did we hear about, you know, the recession and interest rates are going to destroy this and do that? And the cool thing is, you know, it just keeps confirming what I always say. No one knows shit. They don't know. No one knows, especially uneducated amateur investors or people on YouTube. They have no idea where the economy is going. Now, it's fun to talk about, it's fun to speculate, and, you know, I had a kid the other day ask me, he's like, well, what's the point of doing the whiteboard or blah, 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 if it's not used in the sense of prediction or that. And it's like, well, remove the word prediction is what I told him, and think of it as chess. And, you guys know I'm a big fan of Howard Marks, the little mini Buffett. Very successful billionaire, runs Oak Tree Capital. One of the things that Marks really helped grind in my head is we always stay invested. We were always in the market. Our portfolio is always in, but we can learn and study, and we can wait. And what I mean by wait is waiting, position sizing, portfolio management. And this is where a lot of amateur investors drop the ball. You know, most people see everything at what they call top-down analysis. Meaning they see the whole thing and then they go, oh, it's all bad. So let's, you know, I want to be out of the stock market. But that's just not the way the stock market works, man. You know, top down works fine for the news and for headlines. But for us as an investors, we got to look at each individual stock, each individual sector, each individual opportunity. And just because something is going down doesn't mean I should buy it. Doesn't mean I should sell it. It's just going down because you got to believe. And we're going to talk about this today. The only thing that moves the market is fear and greed. And it always goes too high. And it always goes too low. And I keep saying the word amateur because I want to drive this home. Is ask yourself, when you're making decisions, if I did not own this stock today, would my decision be the same? Because a lot of people, instead of seeing an opportunity, will think about selling. The only reason they're thinking that is they bought it 50, 60% ago. And now they're thinking, should I have even bought this? And I'd ask you, if you didn't own it today, do you think it's a deal? But catch yourself, because it took me years and years to understand this intellectually, is ask yourself, am I buying this just because I own it right now? Am I adding shares just because I'm underwater? That is a stupid fucking reason, okay? It's okay. And you can own a stock that gets reevaluated. 3M is not worth $180 where it was at one time. And due to lawsuits and all these other things that have happened, I think the true value on the stock is like $110 now. It's come down to $70, guys, from where they used to say it was worth, which means you may have paid more than it's worth at one time. Okay. That doesn't necessarily mean you get rid of the stock. You may have bought a stock and it drops 50%, and the 50% is the new value. That doesn't mean you get out. Doesn't. That's not a reason to get out. Because then, you know, a year later, it might be undervalued 50%. You're able to pick some up. It comes back. And then, you know, plus compounded dividends. You know, sometimes you just overpay for things. And that's okay. And that's not a reason to get out of it. Not a reason to get in it. I'm just saying. So make sure your reasoning isn't what you paid, but what is it actually worth? And what do you and really, what is it going to be worth in the future? So right now, we got a couple portfolios stand. That was, you know, let's conclude the educational me on my soapbox part. Thoughts and ideas this week. We got a couple of themes running from last week is one, bank earnings were kind of mixed. Bank of America came out kicking butt. Goldman Sachs was kind of flat to middle, which for them is shitty. And who was the other bank? Morgan Stanley, I think. They did okay. So bank earnings weren't bad with a little bit of, you know, shine light through it. The war in the Middle East, rising rates continue. We continue to see bonds fall. I'm surprised. And I get right now that continues to be what the market runs with as the lead story. That is going to move the market more than anything. The war in Ukraine, the market doesn't give a fuck. There's a lot of things right now that ordinarily the market would care. Right now, all it cares about is rates. Okay. It will stop. And when that stops, it will pick a new thing to worry about. The market climbs a wall of worry. You know, there's always a problem and it's always picking a new boogeyman. Okay. So just remember that it'll switch at some point. At some point, the market won't care about interest rates anymore. It's going to go have long, it's going to go as low as it's going to go because now stocks are going to be attractive compared to CD rates that we're going to hit that point. And that's because we went too low. And then what I'm afraid of is a lot of people are going to wash out down there and go, why would I own a stock that just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping, paying me a 3% dividend because they bought it much higher. If I can just sell this loser and roll out into 6-7% CDs, or the older people will roll into indexed annuities, and you're going to see this happen. And then that'll be the bottom, and all the smart investors will have bought up all these assets, you know, and then rode it back up, and then they'll and then they'll start lowering the rates in CDs to force you out of that back into the market. It's this game just plays out over and over and over. And, you know, so hopefully none of you guys are the ones that are going to sell out in the bottom, but we get them. Dog Power. We got some dogs on sale. Three I like here, Verizon, Dow, 3M. Don't forget to run current. If you go to the website, the Dogs of the Dow, I think it's dogsofthedow.com. Current, click current doggishness. Look around. I mean, I had somebody email the other day, like, oh, where do you find that? Fucking look. It's on the website, man. Be slow to ask questions like that. I know there's always people who say there's no such thing as a dumb question. That is not true. There is such a thing as you're too smart to ask this dumb a question. So it begins to reflect on you. Don't ask shit you can Google. The reason I'm saying that is it makes you look lazy and dumb. And I know you're not. So, you know, always Google first, try to get some and then have the answer. You'd be shocked how much you can learn. An investor is an investigator. You're always investigating, always reading, always Googling, always looking, okay? That website is a tool, by the way. If you're not using it proficiently, that is really, you're being really ridiculous. That is a tool, okay? If you spent any time watching fucking football this weekend, watching rich men get richer, and you were just sitting in a chair, and you enjoy that, I do. But you enjoy that, but you don't enjoy like researching stuff on stocks. Like you might be doing the wrong thing, man. This might not be for you. This week, I'm aggressively looking to add the QQQ. Hey, real quick. I hate to interrupt the podcast. Very, very quick. Listen, get on my email list, man. YouTube, especially Instagram, they could take me down anytime. Shit, I'm prone to saying anything might make them take me down. So I'm trying to build the list. I brought on people to help me so that we can put out more content via email connected to the newsletter and trading and what we see going on, and try to every time make it something that's valuable and useful to you. All you got to do to get on the email list, simply go to the Petersreport.com Peters.com, just like it sounds. T-H-E, the Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S, Rebhorte, just like it sounds, R-E-P-R-O-T.com. And go past the first page, and then any page at the bottom, you can click to get on the subscription list, okay? So get on that. Now try to send out no-brainer trades. It's totally free, okay? Get on that. And that way, if I'm off of any platform, you can stay in touch. And I promise, everything we send, I believe it's personally valuable, or I wouldn't take the time to write. Back to the show. Why? And J-E-P-I. Why? I'm trying to get my stuff to $3,000 a month in my regular brokerage account, and $1,000 a month in my SEPs and IRAs from those type of funds and from the new Yield Max funds. I've got a writer on board helping me with the newsletter. So if you're not on the email list, I still have people that are like, oh, how do I get on the email list? Being an investor is being an investigator. Even investigated the tools we have here, the Peters report. It's on the bottom of every fucking page. So if someone's been in for a year and you're asking me, how do I get on the email list? It's like, damn, dude. You know, there are dumb questions. It's just because it's how it makes you look. Spend time with that, man. It's, you know, and to me, I know I get it. You have a life, you have more shit going on, but it's like, but yeah, why am I putting all this fucking time and effort? You can't look down on a page, you know, but I digress. And I know that's not you. But it's like, wow, no wonder everybody's broke. Look around. There are so many. Last night I was at a party. And the guy standing there was like, man, I just don't, you know, I don't get stocks. I mean, how is it you pick them? And what else was he saying? He was saying something. And he was holding, well, in one hand he had an iPhone. In the other hand, it was something from 3M. And then I turned to the lady next to me and I said, hey, who's your carrier? I said, what do you mean, your phone carrier? I said, Verizon. And then I looked over and there was this this cup. It was not a cup. It was the thing was from DuPont. It was something my friend was using for his art stuff. And I'm like, look, we're in a house party. Saying right here, 30 seconds, I saw Apple, Verizon, 3M, and one other. Right here in this room, surrounding you, all these guys. Those were all amazing fucking stocks that paid dividends. So you don't have a problem of finding stocks. You have a problem of opening your mind. The truth is, he doesn't want to find stocks. The moment you want to find them, they're everywhere. Because if you ever went and bought a car, you start to notice that fucking car everywhere. They have an actual name for this. If someone really wants to know stocks, they will be overloaded with stock picks. Stock picks are not the problem. Now, the problem may be how to enter and exit. And I told him that's where I come in. That's my job. I can show you how to do that. But I'm not going to bother if you don't have a genuine interest in stocks. And so if you're standing there holding an iPhone, you're paying fucking AT&T, your wife's paying Verizon, you're driving around in a Ford, and you're wondering, oh, I wish I could do stocks. You sound stupid. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just a way of seeing the world. And that's what I told him. Then the conversation, I was like, look, bro, you're plenty smart enough. You can do all of it. You know, it's a mental thing. And one thing he did say to me is he talked about, you know, it wasn't a good time to buy real estate, which I kind of agreed. It's right now, maybe not the best. And I told him, but that's not true. If you find a deal, you're just not looking for deals. And he's like, well, and I'm like, dude, stop. Look me in the eye and tell me you're actively, aggressively, like going to the gym, working out, looking for deals. And he goes, no, well, then you're not going to find deals. So stop having a fucking opinion on something that you don't, you know, I didn't say that to him, but like having an opinion like on the Israeli-Palestinian war and you haven't read one fucking hour, you have very little actual experience. You haven't read documents from both sides. You haven't listened to, you know, people, intellectuals on both sides. You haven't studied the history. You don't have, you know, 20, 30 hours into studying this. Nobody gives a fuck about your opinion. It's the opinion of the uneducated masses. I told him that. I was like, dude, you're making an opinion on when to buy real estate or when to buy stocks, and you don't know jack shit about stocks or real estate. Doesn't that sound dangerous to you? It's like playing with a gun and you don't know how to load it. Man, just hand a handgun to your kid, man. Well, he don't know how to use it. No shit. Same thing with money, man. Same thing with the market. And because he was, you know, and I was like, so you don't know if it's a good time or a bad time to buy. I'm going to agree with you. And I told him, here's why. Federal Reserve's raising interest rates and there's very low inventory because everyone that has a 2 or 3% loan does not want to sell it because that loan is valuable. And you could buy their house from them directly by doing subject to and taking over their loan. So the real estate market's going to change. And I went on and on and on explained to him why the real estate, but that's years of me studying it. So my opinion means a little. His opinion means nothing. It's just an opinion. I mean, mine at the end of the day is two, but at least it's based on facts and logic. So that's interest rates. Right now, that matters. Right now, in the U.S. economy, the only thing that has been affected, really, honestly, is the inventory of real estate for the reasons I just stated. You know, I have some properties that, like a couple hundred thousand financed at 4%. Why would I pay that off? Why would I even list it for sale? Because to me, it's just money. I borrowed this money cheap. So why wouldn't I just keep it? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem right now with housing. That means you can open up other things. What? Looking for lots, maybe trailers, maybe getting into subject two, which means taking over notes. What else could you do? But I told him, listen, dude, the play is the stock market. There's yield funds. There's stocks. That's the play. Right now is a perfect, you're 32, man. You should be not playing with your, not you. There's so many, you should be studying this right now. You're going to be my age. And I told him, so I told him, I said, look at me. I said it very quiet because we're at a party and everybody, you know, I didn't want to be a dick. And I said, look at me. I bought my first house when I was your exact age. Now look at me. I'm 53. I'm worth $4 million. I'm the richest guy in this room. You can be that or be not. And that choice is available to you right now. But it's what you're going to do right now that will determine that. So if you leave this party and you continue to do what you've been doing, you will be the people at this party that are my age, that work, that have very little net worth. It's not there, and many of them are smarter than me. I did one thing they did not do. And I put that as a central fucking priority in my life. That was it. That was it. And everyone I'm here would trade places in a second. But when they were your age, they didn't. They wouldn't. All right, hey guys, I want to welcome my buddy to the podcast to give us a little insight into a couple things. And it's my buddy Jay. I call him, he goes by JP with me. But I'm going to ask JP, how is it, you know, when all those people, all those quote smart people out there calling for recession, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, JP, you were too. How is this possible? Are we not in recession?
We certainly have a very resilient economy on our hands. We've got the economy growing strongly. If you think back a year, many forecasts called for the U.S. economy to be in recession this year. Not only has that not happened, growth is now running for this year above its longer run trend. So that's been a surprise, driven largely by consumer spending, driven by a very strong job market with people getting jobs with high nominal wages, and as inflation has come down, real wages, which is spurring spending. And we've also had inflation coming down. So, you know, it really is a story of much stronger demand.
On that demand idea, concept, theory, whatever, it seems like interest rates right now really have only hit housing. Because it was so, would you say because it was so well telegraphed that maybe a lot of debts have been retired or people have had time to position, and so they've just, now some businesses have just factored it in. It's just a cost of doing business, and now we move forward. Am I on the right track there, JP?
Ways in which the economy is less affected by interest rates? It's hard to know precisely, but for example, any company with bond market access will have termed out its debt, right? And therefore may not be feeling the effects of higher rates. The same may be true of homeowners who have a long-term fixed rate, low rate mortgage, who then are therefore not, because it's not an adjustable rate or a higher rate, they're not feeling that increase in rates. So the economy may be somewhat less susceptible to the effects of rate increases. On the other hand, if you look at interest-sensitive spending, these are very much the places where we expect to see and do see effects. So, for example, in housing or in the housing sector has been very affected by higher rates, as purchases of durable goods. If you look at surveys, people will not say that it's a good time to buy a car or a house. Quite the contrary. So we see policy working through its usual channels. It may just be that rates haven't been high enough for long enough. And again, it's all happening in a context of very strong demand.
All right. As I was talking there, and I talked about that young man at the party, who I really like him, ex-Marine, Sapper Fi, all my Marines out there. So when I get those guys' ears, I know they have what they need inside of them, or they couldn't have made it through Marine boot camp. Hoorah! And I know that. I served 7 years U.S. Army. I know what a Marine's made of. Stock trading's easy compared to that. Trust me. But I got this email last night. We'll call him J.S. I am not renewing this year in the MFG. I'm letting my investments, quote, run during what is going to be a busy personal work year. Thanks for all you do. A busy personal work year. Here's the difference. To me, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I don't care how busy he is. I don't give a fuck what's going on in his life. It could be the worst thing you can imagine. I don't care. Or his job is. Guys, there is no point to having a job except to get money to invest. Meaning that is where I start, and then everything else gets realigned. Meaning the point of my job isn't to pay the electric bill. Yes, I have to pay the electric bill, but I'm not going to start with work, pay bills. I'm going to work, invest, and then we got to pay bills. And we're both going to pay the bill. The difference is when he's 53, he won't be rich. That is the only difference. I'm still going to the job. It's just, how do you see it? How do you approach it? How do you order in your life? The idea, now, if he's just being nice to me, like, he may think that's an excuse that I'm like, he may think, Gerald, you suck, MFG sucks, I didn't get anything yet. Okay, cool, move on. But if that is a legitimate thing where he's like, you know, I got a lot going on, like, I actually, you know, first I emailed and I said, you know, good luck. And then I sat and thought about it. I said, you know what? He's going to think I'm a dick, whatever. Some man needs to speak into this dude's life. So I reply back, John, what you said is one of the dumbest fucking things I've heard in a long time. Nobody gives a fuck if you're busy or your job, or nobody cares. You don't change the order because of that. If you want to get wealthy, you have to stay the course. Where heavy is the head that wears the crown. The purpose for the job is to get money so that you can invest, so that you then have control of your personal life. So this dude's going to stay middle class. So he makes just enough that he's like, oh, I can make that decision. It's because he's not poor. So he probably makes just enough to make dumbass decisions. This is what the middle class makes enough money that they can just be dumb all the time. Just be dumb because they can afford it. Well, when you multiply 5, 10, 15 years of dumb, what you get is at the end, you're just dumb, still living, working, paycheck. You know, you got a nice life, nice car, nice house, nice neighborhood. But the moment you die, your family's fucked, or the moment you have to leave your job, or they let you go, or COVID hits, or any number of things, you're going to see how fast, how dumb that was, you know? So, yeah, and I told him that. Take 1 year off. I know, personal issues. Take 1 year off on that. That's $1 million you give up. $1 million fucking dollars. So I hope your personal problem was worth $1 million. And when you get to 53 and get to my age, when I look back, there is no, anything that I was doing at 30 wasn't worth shit other than investing. I digress. All right. U.S. economy, jobs are kicking ass. Everyone's employed. That's awesome. Stock market hates it because the Federal Reserve is going to keep raising rates. So the longer we do good, the stock market will see it as bad. That's why you can't use logic when it comes to stocks, guys. And then one day that'll switch and they won't think that. But then jobs will start going down and then they'll flip out about that. And then they'll say, well, jobs going down is good because now the Federal Reserve is going to have to lower interest rates. You see how the market sees things? So anyway, jobs are strong. This has been my argument against the recession the whole time. I'm going to say it. Listen, you cannot have a recession when everyone's employed and everyone has money. You cannot go bankrupt if you have no debt. They cannot foreclose on a paid-for house. This common sense is lost on a lot of people because a lot of people, I think everyone's in debt like them. I think they think everyone's struggling, working paycheck to paycheck like them. I know that's not true. Designer goods and all that stuff and jet planes and Lambos, they're on back order, man. There's plenty of money. The only person with it limited is the middle class. You know, that's the only person who's doing that. No fucking rich person sends in a thing, goes, oh, I'm going to take a year to worry about my personal life. That's poor. That's not what... That email pissed me off. It's not that he quit. He should have just replied, I'm quitting. Cool, holler at you. But when you give me an excuse, it's like, if you ever catch yourself saying that kind of stuff, guys, if they put me in fucking prison, I would be trying to work out my playbook for this week. It blows my mind, man. Anyway, I needed it as a man to another man. If you're in your 30s and you talk like that, don't tell me, man, because I know what you are. Your mama and your sister and your wife, they'd be like, oh, baby, that's good. You need to rest and take a break. You bring me that excuse, like, man, get the fuck out of here. Don't bring those excuses you take to your mom or your wife or your husband or your, I'm not buying any of them, man. So anyway, that's for whoever needs to hear it. What else we got? We got the war in the Middle East, got the war in Ukraine. Who cares? Let's see. It's funny. As soon as you say that, people get mad. I watched a girl have a nervous breakdown as a bartender about Palestine and freeing Palestine. And this is not about what side you're on. She literally is about to cry and argue with patrons. And I said, you ever been there? She was like, no. Looked at me like I was stupid. Well, dude, there are lights out front that are out. This place could use a sweeping. Your bathroom is dirty. And you're not crying about that, but you're crying about some people you don't know in a place you've never been. You see the detachment there? I mean, she's that upset. She ain't upset that the bathroom that her patient or that her customers are going to is dirty. Why would that not upset you? But people you've never heard of in a place, that's something wrong there, you know? And then she went on talking about how bad these are, blah, blah, blah. She was on the Palestinian side. And everything, like, she was suspended. I was like, you know, they're Muslims, right? Because she's a lesbian. She's like, that doesn't matter. You know, if you were there, they wouldn't like you, right? It was such a bizarre conversation. And then again, I wasn't choosing the other side. I was just letting her know what's up. And, you know, I've been there. And I told her I've been in combat twice in the Middle East. And she said that didn't matter. That didn't make my perspective better. I'm like, okay. Listen, the world is full of fools and idiots. Just like the guy I was talking to at the party who said now's not a good time to invest, to this woman who's defending Palestine at a bar. They don't know what the fuck they are talking about because they put almost zero actual work or investigation into these things. Be careful of how many things that you have that lead and guide your life that if you were being honest, standing naked before God, you actually don't know much about it. Make sure you do know a lot about it. So this is why I couldn't buy into the recession thing, and a lot of people did. So ask yourself, why the fuck did you buy into it? The reason you bought into it is you don't know what you're doing or thinking or knowing. Most people don't, man. You can't have a recession when everybody's got a job and everybody has money. It's not possible. So until that changes, we're not going into recession. That doesn't mean stocks can't come down. Stocks move because of fear and greed, not anything to do with that. What else we got going on? Checking the whiteboard. Portfolio standouts, Lockheed Martin, MPLX, Bitcoin. And we got Hanes Brands breaking out and running. That got away from me, man. I really wanted to get some more shares. I like that play long term. Now, remember, when Hanes Brands got crashed, I know a lot of you guys sold it off. I hadn't started buying until recently. I'm in no rush. You know, everybody keeps bringing up MPW to me, MPW. Move, man, buy it. Get another fucking stock. Well, I have to buy this one because I'm down. Well, why don't, instead of buying that one, won't you buy MFA? Instead of the money you were put in MFA, now you own both. But I have to add to that. No, you don't. It can be red. That doesn't matter. Nothing changes. You know, you don't need a stock to be green to make money, guys. So don't see, we're doing a portfolio over your whole life. I'm never fucking selling MPW. Never. So I could add some here, but also want to buy some MFA. I want to add to Dow. I want to pick up some more AMZU. I want to pick up. So you know what? I'm not going to hit all these. I don't care. I'm going to own them. I don't care if I own a stock and for the rest of my fucking life, this thing is red. AT&T's been red in my account for 7 years. That doesn't make me want to sell it. Doesn't make me want to buy it. It makes me want to do nothing. I don't care. You know, when it's time to add to AT&T, I'll add. And I picked up shares here and there, and I'm probably going to die, and maybe it'll be in the red. Who cares? Now, as I was teaching this the other day, someone said to me, what about opportunity cost? What that means is if you have money tied up over here, you could have put it over here, and that could have went up, and you had done well. I love how they make the assumption that they're going to roll out of the wrong one into the right one that goes up. So what if you... No one ever considers an opportunity cost. Okay, well, what if you close this one you've been adding to that you're in the hole, and then what you buy goes down. And then you get out of that, and the next one goes down. But the first one over here went up. So the opportunity cost was you bailed on your first idea. You lost money on the next two due to opportunity cost. And if you had just stayed with your first idea, you would have built that position really large, and now it's gone up. So be very, very careful. Again, amateur investors like to throw these kind of things around. Dollar cost averaging. That is it. That's not a term you'll ever hear me ever fucking say ever. Not once. I bet there's not a video or recording fucking ever where I use the phrase I'm using dollar cost averaging. Not dollar cost averaging, but by using dollar cost averaging to lower my price point. That is not a way I would talk. I don't give a fuck about lowering my price point. I'm adding to a company that my fund, me, the hedge fund of Gerald Peters, the petersreport.com. My business is owning businesses, right? There's only four ways to get rich in America. And one of them is in own business. So I'm invested in like 87 businesses, right? And right now, due to interest rates, some of those businesses are down. Cool. Because my vision, my pictures all my life, I get to add. Maybe, in the, you know, remember when it was tech stocks? That was your opportunity to add. You know, remember? How many people blew out on growth stocks? That was our chance to add to growth. But the reason people couldn't do that is they had their entire portfolio in growth. So you can't add to 87 fucking stocks, guys. You're going to pick and choose. That's what the whiteboard's all about. These are not all the stocks I own. These are the ones that I think are, you know, at least worth a possibility of taking a shot at. And even then I can narrow it down. I'm only going to hit one or two stage ones this week. I might add to a few dividend stocks, possibly on the growth. And I've got like 9 stocks that aren't quite set up yet, but they're close. So I have waiting on a setup. See what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I might only add to 2 or 3 stocks this week and I have all this there, but I own 87. And none of that, none of the ones I'm adding to have fucking anything to do. My price point of what I pay is not in the equation at all. I don't care. I do not care what I paid for it. I care, what is it worth now? What is it worth in the future? What is the dividend yield? That's it. That's all I care about. Hey, man, I really appreciate you listening to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. I know a lot of people like these weekly ones. I'm trying to make them all better. What I was trying to do there, and I'm slowly working on this, making just everything better. But from the newsletter, if you haven't noticed, we've already started making Discord better. Man, I think our Discord rocks, dude. We have so many smart investors in there. It really does surprise me when people quit, because if I would have had this tool, I'd probably be worth twice as much money. So many good people, smart people, you know, as you know, when you got 50 people, 100 people going, man, I'm picking up a couple shares of Dow, it's exciting. And then we have a section where our dividends in there, where you can post your dividends. And I noticed a lot of people not posting them. That's either because you're just being lazy and don't want to help your fellow investor. I'm going to call it what it is. Or you're just not getting dividends, and that's sad. I went through the dividend channel, you know, like I post them on my story, and I was watching people post, and it's just thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Everyone from getting $1.70, I'd be embarrassed to post that. Why? It's $1.70 more passive income than you had last time. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I post it all the time. I make $54,000 a year in dividends right now. And the other day I posted, what was it, $2 dividend? Because they all start at $2. I'm proud that you got a $2 one. Next time when it shows, it better be more than $2. You got 90 days to make it higher. So utilize that. Ask yourself, why are you being so damn lazy? Why aren't you participating in the group, man? And I get it. People will say that a lot. Oh, I don't have anything to add. Yeah, you do. You got dividends, man. You can right-click on stock charts and then go into Discord and right-click it, and it'll share the chart. Your fingers work. Now, what happens when you start to do that? It's amazing. Anyway, we got a new writer and research analyst on board with us who's from inside of the money flow. So organically, our group is growing. I'm going to be working. We're working on a new studio. Organically, that's going to be MFG members filling that role. I mentioned periodically about I'm bringing in people to help me so we can kick this up. And I get some people, you pitch me like a business. I don't give a fuck about your business and being pitched. And I don't mean that I don't care about your business. I'm talking about when it's pitched back to me as a way of helping me, because that's not what I'm looking for. I don't want people that don't understand. I want everyone that works around me or in it. That they're not employees. That's not what we're doing. They're partners. All right. And if there's money to be made, it's going to be because they produced something that produced profit or capitalists. You get what I'm saying? So the writer I found, it happens to be a stock trader inside of the MFG who's pursuing writing as a hobby, or because they love writing, but as a way of to earn extra money to create a bucket. Or a well, I mean, to fill the buckets. So they're using the principles that I teach in my free ebook and what they've learned inside of being in Discord and building their portfolio and trading and taking their love of writing that they're good at, that it's very hard to do as a living. So it's for a living, they do something else. But you see how that grows organically? Because of their interest, because I saw their writing. So if, you know, you're a web designer, but I don't see any fucking websites anywhere. You're not sending me fucking no, you get what I'm saying? That's how I like to do it, okay? I get contacted by editors all the time. Those editors don't know shit about stocks. A lot of them are 20-year-old kids. They don't know anything about stocks. How can he possibly edit my content when he doesn't know where to start or end? Because he's looking at it as a funny reel. I don't know what they're looking at, but if they don't know where in the sentence to start so that it completes the thought of the idea, how are they going to sculpt my reels? So we got tons of people inside the MFG. Now, if I post help wanted, some people will respond. What I'm talking about is it grows organically. Okay? That's how you make life work for yourself. You just raise your hand. If I join the MFG within a year, OGP would be like, hey, GP, why don't you do some lives for us, man? Why don't you do some training for us, man? I would be recruiting me because I would be posting, putting up charts, talking about things. I don't need to be invited to do that. And I've never been so fucking busy in my life that I couldn't do that, because nothing else is more important. Reorder things. Reorder things. And if you find you can't do that, you probably will never get rich. I hate to say it. But yeah, man, we need moderators. We need traders. I need traders that are putting out every day. They're putting, you know, not every day, but if you see trades and they're made, all these spots, all these things are open, you know? We have friends in the wealth squad. I want you to think about this. There's people that are making $10,000 a month or whatever they make. I mean, I know they make good money. And they just do what they like to do. You know, they learned how to flip a pallet. They learned about how to buy, you know, this type of real estate. They learned how to trade options. They learned how to XYZ. And then they got really good at it and they shared it for free enough where everyone was like, man, this dude's badass. This is our guy. That's exactly what Michael Crow did. He learned from me. And within 4 months of learning from me, he's offered a job because he's posting, putting in things, and he's, because he's doing that for himself. And his stock picks were so good. They're like, hey, man, can we pay you to do this all the time? Because they don't want to lose that resource, you know? And let me ask you, who in the MFG would we not want to lose besides old GP? Now, some of you probably wish we could run it without me. But who in there could we not lose? Honestly, who, if they didn't show up tomorrow, you'd be like, damn. It should be you. If you're not there for 2 days, 3 days, and you don't get a text from me, that should be you. Now, you might say, oh, I'm too busy for that. But because you're doing what? Making money. But what if doing that, you made more money? You get my point? Hey, man, go make it a great week, man. I'm excited. Hey, join us in the TQQ day trading room. Don't pop in and pop fuck out. If you're popping in and out, don't leave comments, okay? It just fucks up the rhythm of the group. Just observe. If you're just jumping in for one day here and there, just observe. Don't make comments. Just, okay? Because I'm trying to teach and trying to get people to do it the right way. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not having fun. We're not fucking, just not playing games, okay? We're in there day trading for fucking real every day. It's a commitment. I watch every tick, every fucking day, all week, all long. No one knows it better than me. And I take it very, very serious. And so, you know, pop ins and outs is fine. But, you know, don't comment a lot, because a lot of times those people's comments are dumb and they're not built on the same experience that we have, okay? Also, consider this. I had a guy I've had several people take a vacation from work, take a week off, and instead of being dipshits and spending money and going to Bermuda and wasting all their money and then coming back and saying they ain't got money to trade, they just stayed home. And for 1 week, 2 weeks, they just paper traded with us. And everyone who's done that come back and said, man, really opened my eyes to trading the money flow on the larger time frame. That was a lot of fun. And they didn't spend no money. And they got experience. And they learned more in that 2 weeks than you'll learn in the next 4 or 5 years. Probably more than most anyone will learn that casually pops in and out of Discord. Don't let that be you. You've got everything you need inside of you to have more, to do more, and to be more. If I can help you at all, you let me know. God bless.